Today, visiting with Drew Nelson, Provost of the Boone Campus of Des Moines Area Community College. Good to have you in.
Good morning, Jim, and good morning, Boone County.
I warned people, I said, administratively, we're already looking spring.
Well, Jim and I have been talking before this about the struggles we're having with the rhythms of time being a little off, that the pulled pork dinner for Rotary wasn't on the same day that our board was up here, and that's the first time probably ever that it hasn't been. So it throws everything off. Everything gets off.
We're off a little bit. But yeah. In the meantime, things have been moving along pretty good.
This is a busy month. It used to be busy for me when I was in Texas. I'd travel a lot for conferences. This is just plain busy. I was down in, have been in Ankeny a lot doing work with DMAC, and then up here a lot, and there's a lot going on up here right now, sports-wise, and then on campus, too.
So let's hit on the sports away. I'll let you do that because those are the easy ones. That's our low-hanging fruit.
Easy but exciting. That's not just low-hanging fruit. That's some sweet fruit right now.
Oh, yeah. You've got golf?
So golf is winning tournaments right now. The men and the women, which is pretty exciting. We've had athletes of the week on men's and women's golf. We've had athletes of the week on cross country. Cross country this weekend ran in the rain in Ottumwa, and both took second. But the women just were off by 3 points. The men lost to Indian Hills. I talked to BJ McGinn last week and said, maybe our goal could be this year that we send 5 teams of 9 sports to nationals as teams. And that would be, we would be an elite program. We're pretty elite now, but we would be elite there. Volleyball has had an incredible run. Yeah. They're in first place right now, which they haven't been in years. And they have a huge match coming up against Hawkeye, who is, Ellsworth. Ellsworth is like 20-2. Okay. We beat Hawkeye, but Ellsworth hasn't played some of the teams we have, but it's going to be crazy over it in Iowa Falls.
Yeah,
it's going to be nuts over there. And then but if we win out, we'll be hosting regions, which we would love to do.
Love to get them here.
Love to spend some money at for Boone.
Oh yeah,
all those people coming in. We had 70 high schoolers here yesterday for a men's basketball camp.
Oh, is that right? Jeez.
So we counted up.
Snuck that in the middle of everything.
We've had almost 1,500 campers come through town in the last year. I think it was 1,474, which is that's just the campers. That's not counting their families. So I'm going to talk about an impact that the Fieldhouse has had. It's really helped us. It's helped athletics in Iowa and even in surrounding states, and it sure helped the town.
I know that you mentioned, so we had the men's basketball camp. But not all of those, I mean, they come from quite a ways around.
They do. We've had people come for softball, from Missouri. I know baseball, I believe, has had people from Minnesota. And we really are crushing it with those camps because the cool part is that right now our teams are mostly Iowa athletes. Mm-hmm. Men's basketball has more Iowa guys on it than we used to have. These are really good players and good students that we're getting. Coach Sandquist, I watched practice the other night and talked to him a little bit about it. And he said, yeah, we're getting some real players from Iowa that we normally wouldn't have gotten. And it's in part because of the program and the coaching and the campus. It's also because of the academics.
Yeah.
It's real easy to talk parents into it now when you start seeing that we've had multiple valedictorians playing sports here, and we've had people doing honors, and we've had people who go to really good schools with no questions asked about their academics.
Yeah. And I can remember, seems like forever ago, Orv, one of his
before things, COVID. Yeah.
Yeah. I go back to Orv when it was one of the first things he said was, we're recruiting students that are athletes.
Right. That's exactly it. And I talked to one of the coaches the other day, and I think with a team of, it was over 15. I think there were 2 D's and 3 C's at midterm, which is, that's awesome with our general student population. We aren't worried about eligibility with our athletes. They go to class, they go to study table. They volunteer to do stuff, which is awesome. And I think these camps help too, because they get to be role models really visibly, and they know it.
Yeah.
So when the students come, these high schoolers or little kids come and are looking up to them, it gives them sort of a standard to live up to. If they haven't, if they forget it, they would get reminded of it on a Saturday or Sunday with these camps. Men and women basketball went over and went 3-0 at the showcase over in Ames, which is like a big jamboree with teams from all over. I don't remember the last time that happened. The women are very fast this year. We haven't. They go in fast, going side to side, not just in straight lines. We like that in basketball. And the men are just, there's some studs on that team.
Okay. Well, that part.
Yes.
So let's talk the ones that really we did mention in the beginning, but we hardly ever talk about them. But golf, and I mean, and you've got some good athletes, and cross country. True. So who would ever thought we would be talking about?
We didn't have a men's cross country team until 3 years ago, I think. It was after COVID, and that's my reference point these days, is before or after COVID, like a lot of us. No, we have a men's cross country team, and the women's cross country team, where when I got here, there'd be five or six young women on the team, and obviously no men's team. And now we've got about 20 between the two teams. And besides helping out our enrollment and housing and everything else, we've got some athletes coming in here who are real serious runners, and they're pushing each other. So we had our first, Natalia Segura was our first All-American.
Yeah.
And she was here up till through last year. And I don't know what we're going to do about All-Americans this year, but I would be shocked if we didn't have at least one out of those two programs, and maybe golf too.
Maybe golf.
Golf is, the men especially are pushing each other hard, because there's only so many spots at the end of the season, and it's not real clear who those last two are going to go to, because they're pushing each other really hard.
Yeah.
And the fact that we're winning tournaments in the fall.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good. Yeah, because we talked about golf before, cool weather school.
Right.
And
right now, the other day, I think, I don't know that they're doing official rankings, but I think I saw that the women were ranked about 15th and the men 5th. And here's the funny part. I can't remember if that was in cross country or golf. I literally don't remember who told me what. And the
other part people need to remember is your coaches, they do make sure that those students are getting, well, of course, most of them are very good students to begin with. They're not going to really slack off.
Right. So the days of coming here and playing for the season and then disappearing are over. Volleyball last year did not lose a single player who wanted to go somewhere else or was bored or didn't or had a better offer. And it's showing that the sophomores last year stayed through the spring and we were able to practice, which is one of the reasons why we're so good right now, is that we didn't have four or five freshmen who are going to play next year. We had everybody stay, and they were having a great time.
So, well, they keep working. That's good.
They keep working,
and they
keep going places. We will expect to place some volleyball players. I think Sarah Hansen, who played for us for maybe 3 years, because of COVID, she was all set to go somewhere and be a teacher, and I think she wound up playing volleyball somewhere in Georgia or something. Sometimes I don't keep track as well as I should, but. We have students, athletes who, I'm done. And then they get the itch, and they were good enough to go. It was a decision that they had to make.
So, well, we have a lot of activities going on there. Plus, we've got a very busy field house. That's good.
Yep.
You can tell every time you go by.
It's wild to come up here when we had our volleyball tournament and see the cars for soccer, for youth soccer on the west side, and then on the rest of the campus is filled up. We had one team drop out, and so it was a little, we didn't get to play as many games as we really wanted to. We played three and went 2-1. President Denson and Pat came up for Saturday's game and went five sets and was a nail biter, and I was so disappointed we lost it. But we did our best, and we had some players get hurt, and so we were not at full strength and took the first two and then lost three.
Well, we're in the midst of, again, academically, what's happening out there.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. We just opened up spring registration, which
I know.
I know. You get done and get open, and Joe DeHart, who is the longtime researcher for DMACC, who's the Newton provost and who's retiring in December, has talked about the rhythm of school. And I grew up with parents who are teachers, so I have that. You know, your summers are off. Your parents are home unless they're working extra jobs. But now you get, you think, well, we'll just get on this project in September. Well, we just got back. Let's get them back. And then you think October, well, we're getting ready for spring. And then all of a sudden it's December and you haven't done your what you're supposed to do. So we're really working hard to try and plan this out and push through. And yeah, we spring registration opened last week. We let you know, veterans and honor students usually get a first crack at classes. DMACC is up this fall 12% in credits as a whole. We are about, I think we're down just a little bit at Boone, but maybe like 1% or 2%, not very much. And that may be entirely online. The trend that we're seeing right now is, and Rob Denson said this the other day, of that 12 or so percent that were up in credits, almost, I think it was 11.5 or almost 12% was face-to-face.
Okay.
They're coming back to class.
We're starting to see the...
Yeah, there's a rejection of online, or at least the new ones coming in have said, nah, that's not for me, so...
I mean, there are things that, because DMACC always had a good online program and good opportunities there. Part of the flexibility working, because you were working with a lot of non-traditional students. You still are.
So DMACC is actually the youngest college in the state, but that's largely because of all the dual credit we do.
Yeah.
So roughly half of our enrollment are students in high schools. So we're working right now on coming up with programming that's going to attract adult learners back that's not just online. We've got to find ways to have them so that they can come in maybe two afternoons a week or two mornings a week, take the time off and come in and take a class in a mode where they'll be successful. Because online is not for everybody.
No. I think maybe the only thing might be, engineering, tech,
Civil engineering is mostly online, and that's because almost everyone, if not everyone in that program, is working already full-time or more than full-time. They are they were full up and probably could have run a second class, a full class of students cohort in spring. We just don't have the teachers to do it.
So
that's really exciting, because that's our retention in that program and our success in that program is super high. We're still limping along with power equipment technician.
That's what
a little
I was going to ask you next.
And I'm no longer in charge of that program here at Boone. Jenny Foster, our dean of workforce, is. So I will provide more information about that as we get it. That's been a struggle though, because it's face to face, and it was designed for 18 and 19 year olds, and there we're competing against existing jobs.
Yeah.
Who those students very well may be making 18 or 19 or 20 bucks an hour somewhere, even doing that work, and it's hard to talk them into sometimes coming for math and speech.
The opportunity is there, let's put it that way. And occasionally, you know, are we going to get the kind of numbers? That's always been the challenge. Will we get the kind of numbers that we need for it?
So DMACC at Boone, historically, I don't know what the numbers were in 2000, say, but when the big bump came after the recession, I think we were at about 1,800 students, 2,000-ish students in 2014, which was sort of that's when online started to take off.
Yep.
And it was before dual credit was fully embraced in the high schools, or concurrent enrollment or career advantage, whatever you call it. And we've now gone down. We're at 720 students taking face-to-face classes at the Boone campus. That's a pretty reliable number. And during the mornings, it's very busy. During the afternoons, much less so. And then at night, our night program is not what it was back in the day when it was Boone Junior College, or when, you know,
early in the DMACC years.
Before online.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we really want to find ways to offer programming that is suitable to people, understanding that if you are making a living right now, it's a little bit harder to sell it.
I know also we've had a bit of a resurgence in doing some workforce development locally.
Right. We're doing a lot of non-credit. You know, our CNA classes are full, and we actually took the old nursing lab that some of you might remember from Boone Junior College days, that's up on the second floor, And when we built the nursing addition in 2005, maybe?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
We obviously didn't need that little room upstairs. Well, now it's being used for back for CNA. We'd used it for art before that because it had sinks. Now it's a CNA lab, and there's a nice little classroom next to it. And we have a full-time instructor. And then our the director of CNA for the district is a local friend, okay. Ms. Godzicki.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've had...
that's right. She's been doing it.
We've been very fortunate in having the resources, including the instruction, to teach CNA because the need is so there. Whether you need it to get into the nursing program or whether you just want to work in long-term care, mm-hmm. we've got you covered.
So, those were some of the things we talked about. It's, we gradually worked, mm-hmm. a couple of years to really get it built to the point where you... where we're starting to meet some of that demand.
We have EMS now, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's running through Career Advantage with our fire marshal and with... It's actually... Dustin is our director, so we have Dustin and Justin.
Okay.
I can remember that much. And that'll be in the spring. And that's a wonderful opportunity for students to get a job when their backs are strong and they can lift people.
Yeah.
That they can do right away out of high school and make a pretty decent living at it. Yeah. And then obviously they can move from there into nursing or other medical care yeah. with some experience and deciding if they want to do it. It's not something you necessarily do for 20 years, but,
yeah.
but we're excited that that is now up here and there are other things that may eventually arrive here. We're working. So
basically just really getting started on a lot of the
right.
discussions. What should we bring? What where is the demand?
Yes. We did the other day CPR, which is required for all those medical things. And, mm-hmm. and I had some like vending machine money that I could sell. It was a real small class, but they needed it to get in. So for a few hundred dollars of my vending machine fund, I was able to pay the instructor enough to get those three or four or five people through. And actually, I tried to do that, and then continuing, Ed came back at me from Ankeny and said, no, don't spend your money. He said, we need to get these students through. And you're literally talking sometimes about students getting the three or four that you've got, getting what they need to move on, and it costs the institution $300 or $400 to cover the cost. Well, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah,
I'll take the Snickers fund and do yeah. that, or else, honestly, continuing Ed was very happy to fund it. So We're working together very well so that everybody knows we are in the middle of a facilities plan
mm-hmm.
as a district, a master plan, which we haven't done in many years, a real one. And what they're finding is that Ankeny's got some buildings that are really old, and some of them were temporary buildings built 40 years ago.
They're definitely
aging. They're at end of life, yeah. And since we got our wall fixed, we're in good shape up here, and we're hoping, and I will be lobbying, to maybe see some programs move up to here in Ames, like architecture did to Ames,
oh,
where
sure.
that's over there now. I would love to see something land up here that would help us.
Well, we've got some space. We've got some availability.
We've got space on campus to do yeah. whatever we need to do. There's not a lot of money to yeah. build things, and I don't feel like asking. I am going to ask, though, and I've been making sure everybody knows that in 2027, it's the 100th year anniversary of Boone Junior College.
Okay.
And we will plan something special there, which will be, you know, an installation of some sort or something that will be big and memorable, because we know that the community has been supportive of having college in town yeah. for almost 100 years now.
I know, and I've talked to some of the things that they're doing, like at school when we talked about dual enrollment and stuff like that. And I'm going, a lot of the high school students are very well aware
yeah.
that they can really pick up credits. And
we're working hard. I want to do more with Boone High School because of EDGE.
Yeah.
That there's this setup where it seems like it will really work. And the state of Iowa is very much emphasizing apprenticeships and work-based learning as opposed to four-year schools. And we've traditionally been mostly transfer, so we've really got to mind our P's and Q's mm-hmm. about having workforce and good relationships with the school. And it's been great working with Julie Trepa and Megan McIntyre, yeah. and Lindsay Hyman. Yeah. We've been doing great work with them.
So keep going on. All right, so quickly before I run yeah. out of time, traffic at the cafe.
Oh, the cafe's been we've probably been, our sales volume is higher than it's ever been. We've been doing more grab and go salads and wraps and things like that. I think we've got beef jerky from Webster City or someplace up there. That's been going fast. And Connie Sturzel and Alice Erb and Becky Ryan have been doing great work, and we really appreciate their hard work. But the hamburgers go quick. We're doing, besides our sales volume being great for students who need to grab and go, it's also been great for the community to come up. The coffee's a little stronger right now. I've been monitoring that and put my foot down, and it's awesome coffee right now. We get it from Windmill Coffee in Ames, fresh roasted beans, and come on and get some coffee.
So,
dollar for a dollar.
Oh.
Can't beat that.
Nope. And it's just one of those things that pretty easy for people to pull in, slip into the cafe.
And you don't have to leave once you get your food.
Yeah.
We want you to stay and hang out and see the students. We've got the Discovery clients up there in the at night, and we've got the Imagine the Possibilities people during the day that are up there playing pinball and hanging out with students.
They're busy.
Yeah.
That's busy. Busy place. So let's talk about spring enrollment stuff. What's the best process? Start to take it? Because I know students that are there, they know what they're looking for and where they're
going to
be.
If you're new and thinking about going to school, this really is the time to get in touch with us. A lot of us are doing dual roles. Rachel Urkula is doing dual roles with DMAC. Shelby Hildreth right now, who's our lead advisor and does a lot of the advising, is doing dual roles here and elsewhere for DMAC. So if you want to get an advising appointment, I would advise that you probably need to call the front desk and make an appointment. Our walk-up, we still take walk-ups, but you may be waiting.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know what you want to do, it would be in your best interest to call us first. But you can always just come up to the front desk. You're welcome to do that. Or go to dmac.edu/Boone. And remember to join our Facebook group for DMAC.
You've added a bunch of new friends.
We're at about 1,000 or 1,100 on that. And that will let you keep up with what's going on.
All righty. Drew Nelson, Provost of the Boone Campus of Des Moines Area Community College, on our program today, dmac.edu.
Mm-hmm. /Boone.
And see what's going on.